Good morning again, everyone. Oh, this doesn't work. Okay, so we use the arrows over here. I'd first like to acknowledge the co-authors on this abstract, Dr. Sarah Samuels. I'm actually presenting in her place today. My colleague Lisa Crepo, who's seated right up here on the podium and will also be presenting findings from this evaluation, and other members of the HEAC and crop evaluation teams. I don't have any personal or financial relationships to disclose. And I'd like to make a few additional acknowledgments. This evaluation was funded by the California Endowment. Kaiser was also a partner in these projects and provided additional resources. I'd like to thank all of the members of the Samuels and Associates evaluation team, and then our partners on the evaluation, UC Berkeley Center for Weight and Health, UCLA, School of Public Health, Department of Health Services, Abundancia Consulting and Field Research Corporation in San Francisco, and also the members of our National Evaluation Advisory Committee. They were there from the beginning and met with us annually and provided guidance on the evaluation design and methods. So let's start with a few photos that convey the types of environments that grantees in these two initiatives were trying to change. This is Fast Food Alley in South Los Angeles, and it really conveys the density of fast food establishments in that low-income neighborhood. And as I'll talk about a little bit later, this is one area of intervention for our grantees. Here we see vending machines in the school that are selling unhealthy items, and you also note that there is advertising on these vending machines. So this is an area of great promise, and I'll be sharing findings from the school sector. Here we have a Coca-Cola truck pulling up in front of a school, fortunately a less common sight these days. And these are also signs from several of the HEAC schools that I think get the message across very clearly that while public or open space could be available to the community, a sign has been put up basically barring people from using that space. And I think many of you have probably seen this photo before. It's just so ironic that even when you, you make healthy messaging available, it's often in competition with very unhealthy messaging. So both of these initiatives, which I'll talk about in a little bit more detail in a moment, took an environmental approach to changing nutrition and physical activity environments. So this was pretty novel at the time, and you know, as Pam mentioned earlier, the Kaiser Initiative and HEAC and CROP were really pioneering initiatives, and the funders really took a little bit of a risk in pursuing this approach because previously people were much more focused on individual behavior change and health education. And the rationale behind this was that all of us, individuals, youth, adults, make decisions within the context of the environments in which we go to school, work, and play. So the grantees and initiatives wanted to improve these environments so that there would be healthier eating opportunities and that there would be more space available for safe physical activity. And sort of the slogan that carried this work was the healthy choice, the easy choice. So let's make that the easy choice. This slide synthesizes some key components of the two initiatives. So HEAC was launched first in 2005. It was followed by CROP, which is in the Central Valley of California, which is our agricultural region. The HEAC, the six HEAC communities were spread across the state and were a combination of low-income, ethnically diverse urban communities and then one rural community in the northern part of California. And as I mentioned earlier, the objective was to change nutrition and physical activity environments. And they focused in multiple sectors, a school and after school and in neighborhoods. There's also an emphasis on healthcare and public health departments. And they did this work in combination with a variety of partners on the ground. So the resources actually flowed to multiple partners in the community. And it was very important, too, for these initiatives that there was a statewide advocacy network that the communities could draw on. So they weren't doing this work in isolation. We had very colorful and complex theories of change and logic models for both initiatives. They're really kind of too large and detailed to put on these slides, so they're just summarized by these key points, and that was that we hypothesized, you know, if we change the environment to increase access to healthy foods and physical activity, that residents are eventually going to be able to make healthier choices. And far, far down the line, and this really was not a major focus of the initiative, that we would begin to see health indicators improve. So in order to answer our questions that are related to the research questions that are related to the theory of change, we looked at the environments, so how did these environments change, and then also how did perceptions, attitudes, and behaviors change. This is a list, not exhaustive actually, of the evaluation methods that we employed in HEAC and CROP. So you'll see a combination of qualitative and quantitative methods. We have interviews, environmental assessments. We did, with the help of Field Research Corporation, we did telephone interviews. Lisa will be talking about that a little bit more, focus groups. And a number of these methods were employed in multiple languages. There were large Spanish-speaking communities in most of the HEAC and CROP sites. Just a little bit of background, too, on the philosophy for the evaluation, which I think is very important. It was a participatory evaluation, so we really tried to engage the grantees in, you know, identifying participants in interviews. We formed a small committee of grantees to provide input on our instruments, and they were very active in disseminating the findings. And one of our key goals was to keep feeding the findings from the evaluation back to the grantees so that they could actually use those findings to shape their interventions. And just as, you know, reported by Pam, we wanted to make refinements over time, and we did so with the logic model based on the evaluation findings. The grantees sought policy change at different levels. A lot of it was at the local level, but they were also an active voice in influencing state and federal policy. Because one of our colleagues, actually Rosny, in the school, and she's conducting a pencil and paper inventory of the items that she's observing in the school environment. So I'd like to lead us just through some highlights from the evaluation. I really can't do the extent of the findings justice. There's a link at the end where you can access the full and lengthy evaluation report and all of the related briefs and journal articles. But I'm going to walk us through the core evaluation questions and provide a couple of answers for each question. So to what extent did the food environments change in schools, after schools, and neighborhoods as a result of HEAC and CROP? We did find that the foods available in the school environment were more healthful over time, and that schools did not lose money by making these changes. So it's often thought that if you intervene on the a la carte or competitive foods, that the school is going to lose money and won't be able to fund other activities. We actually saw an increase as a result of this intervention in the participation in the school meal program. So also, you know, source of revenues for the school. And those items are, you know, whether they're sort of regulated strongly or enough is a question, but they do fall under guidelines. We also learned that it was really necessary to have stronger nutrition standards yet than are in existence today in California. And some of the grantees actually did go above and beyond our state nutrition standards. When we compared the foods that we inventoried, the foods and beverages that we inventoried in the schools, and by that I mean the competitive foods and beverages, we saw between 2005 and 2010 an increase in adherence to the state nutrition and beverage standards. So SB 12 is the state nutrition standard, and 965 is the beverage standard. And this is really one of our most positive findings. And it's really, as we've heard from Pamela and from others here today, we would say that the school has been the tipping point in this work. It's where the work began. It's where we had legislation. We had the school wellness policy law passed that applied to all school districts in the country. And it's just, it's an area of improvement and great promise. And those findings from the environmental assessments were corroborated by surveys that we conducted with youth in the schools. And we learned that they weren't compensating outside of the school environment because of these changes within the school environment. And that they were generally very supportive of making these changes and were often directly involved in making the changes themselves. So to what extent did student level outcomes change? So I mentioned earlier that BMI reduction really wasn't the focus of this initiative because it was focused on policy and environmental change, but we did analyze fitness gram data, and we found that in these very diverse low-income communities that the obesity rate flattened. So it didn't go up, it didn't go down, but it remained the same, which we consider a success, and that aerobic fitness improved significantly among ninth grade students. So then how have neighborhood environments changed? There were a variety of interventions at the neighborhood level, and they ranged from corner store makeovers in the HEAC communities to bringing produce stands and farmers markets into communities in the Central Valley. And we saw that this was an area of a lot of innovative activity in these communities. They were very successful in passing ordinances and policies that would enable more healthy foods to come into the community. And also, very importantly, a lot of those farmers markets are accepting EBT or WIC, so making fresh fruits and vegetables accessible to lower income communities. This is a finding from our corner store assessment. So I mentioned earlier that the HEAC grantees wanted to improve access to healthy foods in these corner markets in their communities, mostly in the urban communities. And they were also working on the messaging within these stores. So we took a look at the proportion of healthy advertising to unhealthy advertising in the markets, and actually found an increase in the healthy marketing or advertising within the stores over time, but not so in the outside environment. We do have a brief just on this topic that's available on our website. So let's turn now to the physical activity environment and look at PE and other forms of physical activity environment in the communities. So probably most of us in the room who are involved in this work know that it's very challenging to improve physical education in the public schools, either because a state does not have a standard in place, or if there is a standard in place for the minutes of PE that students are to be engaged in, it's not enforced at the school level. Another challenge that we observed through the evaluation is very large class size. Because of the volume of the students, it was very difficult to get those youth involved in moderate to vigorous physical activity, which is what the MVPA stands for. So while we didn't see a positive and consistent change across the HEAC schools, we did see some really great examples at the school or school district level in some of the communities where there was a lot of effort placed on training the teachers or reducing class size. And we think that this is an area where the intervention will really need to unfold over a long period of time. And fortunately, due to CPPW funding flowing into some of these communities, we really have the opportunity to carry that work forward. The neighborhood environment, here a great variety of strategies pursued by the grantees, and we think of these as longer term strategies. Quite a few of them were working on bringing health language into the general plan, so a very important step in terms of policy change, but we may not see the fruits of that until much further down the line. There's also movement around joint use agreements in these communities, which is an area that was really just taking off as these initiatives began. And joint use, if you're not familiar with it, is an agreement between a school district and a community partner, or even a community, to open those grounds to students after school or outside of school and to community members. So we mentioned earlier that we were interested in looking at the perceptions and attitudes, and Lisa will be presenting findings on this in more detail. But we did see a shift in perception among the residents in these communities, and that they increased their awareness of the environmental and policy approach. And this was also borne out by statewide polling that was not a part of our evaluation, but that was conducted by the California Endowment. And that there was a pretty high level of support for policies that would, you know, result result in changes to these environments. Just a couple of findings from our surveys with policymakers, and these were done in the HEAC and CROP communities and sent to a variety of policymakers ranging from city council members to school board members to mayors. And although there are some differences in responses based on party ideology in the part of the state, the more conservative or more liberal part of the state that the policymaker came from, we did see very strong support for the approach that was being pursued in HEAC and CROP. And, we took this to be a very interesting and important finding, and that, there was actually support for government action on these issues, more so in the HEAC communities than in the CROP communities. We asked these policymakers about specific strategies that were being pursued by the HEAC and CROP grantees, and we actually took these items from the Institute of Medicine strategies for obesity prevention for governmental institutions, because we wanted to sort of anchor those in some established and tested strategies. And as you can see, very strong support for policy measures bringing water into schools, and in California now we've had a lot of movement around bringing water into the schools, setting nutrition standards. But then when we asked about any measures related to regulation or taxation, there was sort of a backing off in the level of support, as I think would be expected. Joint use, very strong support, and also for enforcing the PE regulations that are on the books. So just briefly, a few findings from the healthcare and public health sector in HEAC and CROP, and again, there's a much more detail in our reports. And public health was a very active partner in both initiatives, in close partnership with the community grantees and school districts in the case of HEAC. And we, through interviews conducted with them and through our assessments of public health departments, we learned that they were developing and implementing nutrition and physical activity policies in these environments, in these work settings, and that they were very supportive of the environmental approach. And we were able to also show through surveys that we conducted with healthcare providers that they were using the five prevention messages developed by Kaiser Permanente in the clinical practice, and that they actually saw themselves as advocates in the community, as trusted leaders in the community, and began to take on that role. So, just to pause for a moment on the important role of youth. I think this is also an important finding that I don't think we necessarily expected at the beginning of the evaluation, but we were able to show over time through surveys and interviews and the other types of assessments that we conducted that youth played a critical role in making these changes, and that there's really the promise of sustaining these interventions because of their engagement. Community resident engagement, in particular their advocacy activities around changing nutrition and physical activity environments. The community residents were engaged from the get-go in documenting what the issues were in their environment, either through photo or voice or through CX3 in California and different assessment tools. Okay, just to conclude, I think I'm in my final 3 minutes, thank you. An overview of some of the accomplishments from HEAC and CROP. I think we were able to show through the evaluation that the environmental approach is working, and that we could document that there's a synergy between these sectors, so that a multi-sector approach is important. And if we were to take that one step further, as Kaiser Permanente has, that DOS also has a role in that. That community, institutional, and youth leadership are critical for the work. And that having the statewide leadership network of advocacy organizations kind of pushing the agenda at the state level and supporting the grantees, and also the support of the technical assistance providers, was really critical to the work. So I'll conclude with, it's not like a perfect before and after, but just some photographs to show how these communities have changed through HEAC and CROP. This is an international food venue in South Los Angeles, and that is actually not so far from the fast food alley that I showed you earlier. And here, seven independently owned restaurants were able to implement menu labeling and improve the healthfulness of the meals served. So they weren't required to do so. They don't fall under national menu labeling or even California's menu labeling law, but they are providing healthier meals to the community. We see the fruits and vegetables that are now available in more venues in the Central Valley. I don't remember which school this is at, but it's just a beautiful track that will be used by the community as well as students. This is from the school, Burroughs Elementary and Fresno Unified School District. They pursued a joint use policy. The principal was really on board with it. And now we have both adults and youth using the school outside of school hours. Okay, a couple of recommendations for, I guess, particularly for the evaluators in the room. Do focus on monitoring policy change, so have the policies been implemented? And we do need to know that in order to say, to what degree the environments are changing. Use standardized measures in the different sectors. We are very happy to talk with you about the methods that we used if you're interested in learning more about the tools. Do track the role of community residents, youth, parents in the work. And then, if possible, establish a real-time BMI surveillance system. Here are the links to the reports. You can come up to me afterwards, and I can also take your card and send the link to you. I know it's a lot to jot down right now. And here's my contact information. So thank you very much for your time. Thank you.